Accession number 27057, Reel 4.
Thing.
What sorts of tales?
Well, better not put this in there.
Oh, let me be the judge of that.
All right. The first thing you do, as soon as you got out of a train or a bus or a carry or anything, like you have half a dozen kids around here. One of them, see my sister, she's a good lady. One of them, my sister, she's a good lady. And all of this sort of thing, you see. And really and truly, it was... Well, it was filthy. A lot of it was filthy. It was a crime to get VD. That was a crime.
And presumably you've been warned severely.
We
have. By officers and...
We've been warned. Even when we went to South Africa, that was a bad one. We were told, of all the stupid things the officers did, that was one of the worst things. We were told before we landed every day, just before we landed, you are not to go to District 6. Well, hell of a lot of the blokes, quite a few, went to District 6. And I was in a town picket that went through District 6 with officers. NCOs and ordinary squatties pull all these blokes out of bed and anybody that got anything there, they deserved it.
What would happen to those blokes that you hauled out of bed?
Oh, well, nothing happened to them unless they were AWOL. I think they had a reasonable medical examination. I don't know about that. Mm. It was an eye-opener. Really was. And it was no more than Egypt. Egypt was...
What were your initial impressions of Egypt? Okay, here we are in Egypt. What was... seeing Egypt for the first time like?
Sand. It was the sand. We had a couple of blows there whilst we were there.
Did you go to places like Alexandria?
I lived in Alexandria.
So what was Alexandria like?
Well, the same thing happened whenever you walked there. You get this crowd of blokes and a cloud of bloody pimps around you all the time, and you could, or you, if you got down and went into the, like, thing, what was the name of the club, they have afternoon tea in English style, and it's all dressed up and that. That, you didn't get anything from that. What's the name of the pub?
That's right.
The rest of it was a hell of a lot of just drink dives, really. They were and you get your poppets picked if you weren't careful. And
here you are travelling the world. It sounds like you're having more of a paid holiday.
We were, honestly, we were for quite a long while, and it was, I say the battery went up to Brooklyn. No, I don't know where they got to, but we were I was in Six Factory. The officers, our officers in Six Factory, after we'd been there for a while, and this Fifth Battery had gone up the front, and we're breaking our neck to go up running every day, you keep your vehicle quite topped up and everything, and so George Kelly, he was the captain, says, "If we're not gone by Saturday, I'll buy the whole battery. I got a bottle of beer." So we hadn't gone. George Faulkner, and he was his lieutenant, he said, "Right, my turn next Saturday." So he was. Peters, correctly, I've forgotten, another two officers. They all fell for it, and then the Fifth Battery came up, and I don't think it was long after that when we got on the boat to go to Egypt.
Greece,
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Greece, yeah. And
did you ever think at any stage about the chance, okay, well, you are seeing all these amazing places, but in seeing all of these amazing places, one day you might end up in a place where you weren't going to go any further. You were going to get killed. Did you ever think about that?
Only a little bit after we'd been in action, after we got to Greece. We went right up to the top of Greece, on Yugoslavia, on the border, Vivi's Pass, it's called. That's where we went into action the first time. And then, of course, the wagon lines were back behind the guns. And we got the orders to get up, pick up the guns. And I went up there behind my gun, and Rex said, "Oh, just hang on for a minute, Bill. We got to fire a few more rounds." So I stood there while they were firing the round. And then Rex said, "Come on, Bill, he'll get up." And I couldn't start my vehicle. Wouldn't start. Express wouldn't bloody well start. Anyway, and then it started. And Rick said, "What the hell are you burning in that thing?" Because I didn't know. I'd had two tanks, and I had to drive the motor every day and every evening. And as I do, when I kept the tanks full, and I do this one today and this one tomorrow, and so on like that. And we carried 32 gallons. I think it was 8 4-gallon. Tins of petrol up on the top of our vehicle before we went into action, and I just kept the tank full all the time. And at Sergeant Rex. What the hell are you burning in that? It's nothing but bloody petrol. And I looked and we got 32 gallons of kerosene. Of course, one of the blokes who get killed, he put in his gun and he stalled. We're going down, we had to go back towards the Cherry, I couldn't come round down there, going down there, and he stalled. And they were shelling us. And one shell hit behind the gun on the road, this one, and one piece of shrap went right through the gun crew, and this was a Ford V8, sat on seats either side. It went right through, past all those blokes' knees, and through the back of the seat, killed him.
It's all to do with luck, by the sound of things.
Just luck. But it was trouble because he stalled it and restored it with kerosene. We didn't know then. I don't know. We got petrol from then on. I don't know where. But the Greeks were running back when we were going up, and we had orders that you're not to stop, and if you hit anybody, don't stop. In some places, if you hit a bloke, he went over the side about, he and his gun crew, about 1,000 bloody feet. They were blocking the road, so we just kept going. So anyway, that was what I finished up. When Rex said, "What the hell are you burning?" I said, "Oh, bugger him, I know."
Did you experience this situation happening where you would literally knock other retreating soldiers off the road?
Well, you have to know what the roads are like in Greece, and one place we went out, or we'd been in an action, and I had to drive all bloody night. It was a walking pace with three blokes in front of me, cigarettes on, and there was about a 1,000-foot drop down there. So you kept that way.
Kept over to the other side.
See, the road was only... Some of the vehicles couldn't pass one another. And of course, they were coming back too, with horses and carts there. I mean, it was terrible, but either we went or they went. It was...
At this stage, presumably, you're getting an education that you hadn't thought of about life.
Well, that is so something that you never... even dreamed of. You could do that, and you couldn't think about it, didn't dare think about it, and you had to. That's what we were told, and it was
Was it ever something that you found difficult to follow orders like that? Or was it literally an automatic situation?
No, I don't really know. It was we were in a tough position. We were when we finished our tour in Greece. We went down through the town, right down to the tip of Greece, and our gun was when we had to put it out underneath. I think it was a bloody big olive tree, I'm not certain which tree it was. And there was two roads.
You were mentioning that you had trouble getting the gun over and the vehicle over those guns.
Oh, yeah. But there was houses there and two roads coming in. And we would sat there all day long with shell in and loaded and everything. Just in case the tanks came through. And we were in front of the bloody infantry. The man got in the artillery to reckon he's going to be behind it. How we were in front of the infantry. And we bloody near got the Kiwis going out with us. And one of our officers, the name of George Faulkner, I hadn't got a muffler on my vehicle, and it sounded like a 50-ton tank. And more orders came through about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I forget when. We had to get out and get down onto the beach. And I started the motor up, and of course, in middle of the year, low all the way because of the roads and that. And it was in the pitch black dark night. And the team was up there, and they had everything lined up on us. And George Faulkner was there. He said, don't. He said, that's one of ours. And I got into trouble over that.
Did you ever experience friendly fire?
No, not to my knowledge.
When you were told that you were to go to Greece, what were your initial thoughts?
I don't know what we were told we were going to Greece. I can't remember.
So you didn't have any experience in North Africa in relation to places like Tobruk or Bardia?
No.
Any of those actions? No. We're talking now the beginning of 1941.
Yeah.
And I was wanting for you to give us an indication of what it was like to get to Greece. British forces arrive in March,
yeah.
41. What was it like to be arriving in Greece?
Well, the first thing that struck us was that the bloody wharfies were on strike. And so we had to unload the boat ourselves. I think they did. Anyway, And we had to, when we put our vehicles on, we had to empty them of all fuel. Anyway, these vehicles had a vacuum tank. You know what they are? It's a vacuum tank that sucks up the petrol. And it's got about a pint of petrol in it. And then it's down this flown as gravity feed from out of the vacuum tank with taps. And we had to empty our tanks to get on the boat. So I thought, bugger this. I'm not going to, knowing I had to push it. And so I said to them, when I drove onto the ropes and things like that, and I said, oh, fuel's all out, that's it. And they said, no good. They lifted it up and put it in the hold, and I didn't do much, but we pushed it around. And when we come to unload in Greece, come my turn to come out, I said, righto, I got in and hit the starter button in the guts, and away she went. What are you doing? I said, oh, none of you buggers thought, did you? I said, I didn't. What do you mean? I said, we got vacuum tanks. It's got a pint of fuel in it. So they were a bit unhappy because nobody thought of it. I thought of it.
It saved you having to haul it off. You could drive it off.
Yeah, I just drove it in under the nets, and then when we got out, we had to go about 300 yards down away from the wharf to fill it with fuel. And I just drove it. They didn't. That was disobeying orders. But nobody said anything about it. I think they all reckon he's smart. But arriving in Greece, don't really know, Edmonton. At the moment, I thought it's just another country.
How did the locals see your arrival, do you think?
Oh, they were, locals, I think, were happy because the Greek army had come away, and see, it took us 2 or 3 days to get up to the VV Pass, and then we were in action. Well, a little while we went into action, we started firing shells. I think, I'm not certain whether Rex would tell you that, whether it was the first day or the second day.
Okay, well, I'll ask Rex when I see him.
Mm-hmm.
But your initial impressions of Greece, you're here, you've been to England, you've been to Africa, you've been to England, you've been to Egypt, and now you're in Greece. To what sense were you having an adventure?
Yes, it was an adventure, I think. But see, I'm not over educated. I didn't do like Abby done. She was a school teacher and that sort of thing. Learned all about the classics and all this sort of thing. See, I went to school on the group settlements, a one-teacher school, and half the time I was taking the bubs and that sort of thing. And then I was in sixth standard for 18 months and didn't know anything about. I read books, but mainly I read. My father gave me cowboy books, and I had to, when I'd finished them, or finish one, I had to tell him what it was about before I could get another one.
And so what was it like to see these places from a young chap's point of view in this situation?
No,
Did you see the pyramids, for instance? Did you get a chance to see the pyramids?
Oh, yes, I saw them.
What was that like?
That's just... I don't know, John, because...
You'd obviously...
Not being... I knew about the pyramids.
But you'd never seen them before up close. What was it like to look at them?
I can't really...
People are often awe-inspired by the size of them.
Oh, yes. That is...
Did you climb them?
No, I didn't go for them at all. We went across the country once when we were up there, and I don't know, we came near the pyramids, and I think they're in Cairo, aren't they? I just imagined it. I just looked at it, and I know this sounds like, and so, oh yeah, that's not bad.
Okay, you're now in Egypt. You're now in Greece, and you're heading north.
Mm.
What are the sights of the Mediterranean, Greece?
It's wonderful. That I think we climbed. I don't know when we got out of Greece. We climbed. I don't know how long, for a long, long time. And we come out of the plain, I think it's the plain of Larissa, I think that's what it's called. And that was a fantastic sight, to get up so high and look out over this, and you see the villages and the roads, and then behind it again, you got hills. And that that is the one thing that I do remember most of all. Because we went back to Greece a little while ago, and I said to Mum when we got there, went up there, I don't know where we were, we came out onto this plain of Larissa, and fantastic to be able to see the country as it's laid out, as you probably do see a lot of it, as well as we know now. We've been around quite a bit, and you can see from the plane, you can see a different country. As you mean. Going up north in Australia, that's a fantastic country, all up that way. And
but different to Southern Europe.
Oh yes, well, Southern Europe, we saw a lot of desert. And had a lot of really wind blows in Egypt, but we also saw. Well, I think it was not much more than sand in Egypt. And we went cross country from Alexandria, or like King Mario, to Cairo, and that was an exercise, just doing map reading and all that sort of thing.
When you were in Greece, seeing this amazing countryside, what did it feel like to know that you were seeing this in the midst of a war?
I don't think that seemed to... influence me in any way whatsoever. I'm just having a good time because I'm seeing the country, or seeing the countries that I didn't think I would ever see.